The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of Harris Stowe State University or Black Radio Hall of Fame.
Africans at home and throughout the diaspora, unity is strength. We've got the power.
Stop the fussing and the fighting. Now the time to do the right thing.
We need more unity.
Come.
Stop the fussing and the fighting.
Yeah.
Now the time to do the right thing.
In the spirit of Umoja, embrace with love.
Let's do it right now. We've got to do it right. Stop the fussing and the
right
fighting.
Right now, right now.
Now the time to do the right thing.
That's right, that's right. This is Jamala Rogers, your host of Voices from the Battlefield. I'm here live at Black Radio Hall of Fame at the historically Black University, Harris Stowe State University. This is the show that connects the struggles of people with those who are on the battlefield. And there are many battlefields. There are folks fighting for democracy, folks fighting for a better environment, they're fighting for health care, they're fighting for better education, all of this. And all of this is really about the same thing, you all. So here we go. A reminder that genocide is still going on in Gaza while Trump and Netanyahu play war games with people's lives. We still have a serial liar and a 34-time convicted felon that is wreaking havoc in this country and the world. And unfortunately, now he's being aided and abetted by a Congress full of corrupt and weak people, not all, but it's not enough to make a difference. The ones who are righteous are in the minority. We have cowards and corrupt people at the highest levels, y'all. That's a problem for us. So that's why we have to do something different in these very unique and dangerous times. And I can't put it any other way, really. But we're gonna talk about all of that. We got a number of subjects to talk about, mainly because there's so much that has been going on. And we've had a number of guests who talk about very specific topics, but there are just a number of things that have been happening, just like boom, 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 that I want us to explore. So first I want to say, you know, we lost a giant of a politician, elected official, a public servant. I am talking about none other than William Clay, our first African-American congressperson who transitioned over the weekend. And, you know, lots to be said about his legacy. And no doubt about it, there's going to be more talk about that. I've did reviews on a number of his books. And I, as you remember, I had his granddaughter on talking about the scholarship fund and what's going to happen to that. So that happened just in time, really, because that announcement was about a month ago. And so I'm sure there's going to be good things ahead. And I had promised the Clay family that I would let you know about those as they come into fruition. You know, there was a death at the jail again. And so that means that we still don't have a handle on the internal culture of the jail. And Samuel Hayes died on July 19th, strapped to a restraint chair, a device that have always said is unethical, immoral, and needs to be illegal. There's a number of deaths that have been associated with these restraint chairs, mainly because people don't follow, and I say people, the guards inside don't follow the policy. And I bet you a dime to a dollar that when the investigation comes up, the procedures were not followed in the case of Samuel Hayes. So just extending my condolences to his family and to the community that surrounds him. I know that he was in the Justice Center, or should I say the Injustice Center, for a murder charge, but people in this country are supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And as I always say about the jail system, people have not been convicted yet. So what we are trying to do, and I'm saying we, the people, including listeners, including you, we have to always think about what we want to encounter if we were a citizen who had the misfortune of going into the jail. And so those are the conditions that we have to fight for, y'all. You know, this is ridiculous that this is the 20th, you know, death in what, a couple of years. We got a lot to do. And ironically, that happened before the trial of Janice Mensa. And if you will recall, Janice was on the Detention Facility Oversight Board and had went to the jail. This has been now almost a year and a half to find out what was going on with another murder, another death. And they were beaten and assaulted by guards. And instead of some apology to her, they were charged with trespassing and a number of issues. And so last week, a letter was sent to Mayor Kara Spencer asking her to drop those charges of trespassing and resisting arrest because A, they're really unfounded, and two, it really is a waste of taxpayer dollars to pursue this, especially when we now see, again, validation that that place is still a hellhole. Somebody is still dying on the watch of the mayor, of the commissioner, and of the city. And so we have a responsibility to put pressure on whoever needs to be put pressure on to make sure that that's the last time that there is a death in the so-called Justice Center. So there were a number of groups that signed off on the letter, Alderman Rasheem Aldridge and Megan Green, who's president of the board, signed the letter. There's a petition that has hundreds of names on there, all saying drop the charges against Janice Mensa, who at the time was basically doing her job as a detention facilities oversight board member. So, you know, we got a lot to do, you all, because I wrote a whole column on making St. Louis white again, and I think we're starting to see that with state control. That was a power grab by the white, mainly white legislature. And now we see that the board that we fought so hard for, the Civilian Oversight Board, is now been given cease and desist orders. And we still got to fight, y'all. As you know from last week's show, I am a plaintiff in a case against the state, protesting the very nature of a state takeover. So that battle is not over. That battle is definitely not over. And we just found out recently that the Minority Certification Office is being dismantled. You know, the whole notion of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which now has basically been perverted and criminalized and weaponized. And now we have a mayor that's kowtowing to a fool like Trump. This is outrageous, y'all. So if we don't have an office that's making sure that the contracts, particularly federally funded contracts that are supposed to be designated for minority contractors, minority workers, if there's nothing in place to ensure that those folks are real and legitimate, then white folks will be taking those positions, those contracts. So, you know, we got to do more than just keep our eye on the prize. We now have to get active in making sure we get the prizes back because, you know, they're being given away. And that was also a very hard fought office and concept that that really goes back, you know, decades in terms of certifying legitimate Black-owned, women-owned businesses and not the front businesses of white men. So again, part of making St. Louis white again, and that's not going to bode well for us as a community, you all. So we got work to do. I'm thinking now about the tornado recovery, and there's been a lot of response from the column that I wrote a couple of weeks ago that really, and I really do believe in not just criticizing people or criticizing policies, criticizing laws, but actually actively trying to change them or giving some solutions or some recommendations. And one thing about watching the recovery of tornado victims is the city lacks a plan. They lack a comprehensive, coordinated plan. And we are 2 months out from that horrific tornado, and there's still no plan. We've been doing piecemeal stuff, and many of you all, myself, have responded to the call for volunteers to help victims out. But that's insufficient. As hard as we've been working and as hard as the work has been, it's now time for the government to kick in. It's time for FEMA to kick in. It's time to give folks some real relief for a long-term solution to these problems. So cleaning up is one thing. And from what I can tell you all, it seems like a lot of the money is going to go to the triage part, what I call triage, the cleanup, the boarding up, that kind of thing. But what about housing, you know, temporary housing, long-term housing? How do we want to envision the rebuilding of the north side? This is neighborhoods that have been in demise, intentional disinvestment for decades. And, you know, we can point fingers as to whose fault it is, but now we have an opportunity to do something different. We have an opportunity to look at what funds are available and what do we want those Northside communities to look like. And I just don't see the vision. And I know we're going to be having a panel in a couple of weeks talk about this and give some insight on this, because we have to fight for every penny, you all. Every penny we're supposed to get from FEMA, from the Rams money, from ARPA money, everything that we're supposed to get, we're going to have to fight for it. And we're going to have to fight hard for it, because people ain't going to necessarily, like the elected officials, they're going to necessarily throw those dollars our way. And if they do, it's going to be crumbs. And what I said in that article is basically, if we don't fight the good fight now, North St. Louis will never be rebuilt, and it will look like the Lower Ninth in New Orleans. And nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. It's bad enough we have had to look at those communities in various states of abandonment. But now, you know, we have a chance to really think big, think human, think vibrant, think sustainable. And that doesn't seem to be where other folks' heads are who are in control of decision-making and money. And so we the people have to make sure that we get a different kind of agenda on the table, or else we're going to be left out, y'all. I can see that now we're going to be left out. And by the time we figure out what's going on, it's going to be too late, because they would have already usurped the money, put it in some other kind of special district, and we will be left out yet again. And I know it's really hard for people who are tornado victims to be thinking about that kind of fight, because they're trying to get their houses together, they're trying to get that insurance together, that if they got it, they're trying to figure out what their next steps are going to be. The rest of us got to kick in, who were not victims, and say, we got your back. We're going to make sure you get what you deserve. Because for us, we live here too. We live in St. Louis City as well. And so I'm just dismayed and disheartened about the kind of leadership or lack of leadership that I've seen around the tornado recovery. And then, I have to say, I'm pissed about, what Trump has done to FEMA. I mean, basically defunded it, understaffed. It's pitiful. It's sad. And so not only do you have us fighting for FEMA dollars, you got the folks in Texas fighting for FEMA dollars. And when you think about, for example, the little dictator in the White House sent Marines, U.S. Marines, to stop protesters in Los Angeles, but sent zero Marines or zero folks to help find missing people in Texas after that flood. You have to stop to think, is this the kind of country that we want to have, that we want to live in? And I say no. I say absolutely not. But again, we, the big WE, we have to say what we want and how we want it, because these people have an agenda of their own and they're carrying it out right in front of our eyes. I mean, this man has shut down the Department of Education. He's defunding the National Public Radio, public broadcasting, anything that looks like it is not going to be favorable to MAGA is being dismantled or basically destroyed. And we have been watching this in shock and awe. And many folks were thinking he can't do much more. Somebody's going to stop him. And what we've seen is nobody's really stopping him. He's got the courts ruling in his favor. He's got, Congress ruling in his favor. So the only thing that's going to stop him is us, y'all. And I remember one of the articles I wrote for the St. Louis American was that he can be impeached again for sure, but this man is really unfit to hold the office that he sits in now. He has definitely torn up the local economy, the national economy, and he definitely is sending shockwaves through the global markets. This person only operates on retaliation and punishment, and silencing those who are opposed to him, and sometimes, most times, legitimately opposed to him and his policies. So we got a madman in the White House. We don't even have to wait till after his presidency is over to find that out, because we've done that with some past presidents to find out that they were totally incapable, but they hid it from us. This man, there's nothing being hidden. All of this is happening right in front of our faces, y'all. So some people may be, what's the word I'm looking for? May be paralyzed as to what to do, but this is going to boil down to how important your local elected officials are, because now that's really the last stop. It's very little control over Congress and none over the state, but we got to make the local folks understand where we are in this particular time, in this particular point in our history. And so if you don't know who your alderperson is, you need to go to the city website There's a place where the Alder People page is, Alder, and type in your address, and it will tell you who your Alder person is, and it's going to tell you who your state senator and state rep, as well as your congress people. So in one fell swoop, you will be able to know who all your elected officials. You need to know those people. You need to know their phone numbers and their emails, because you, like I said before, you need to have them on speed dial. They need to hear from you, even if you don't hear back from them. I got something back from Mayor Kehoe. I don't even remember what I, you know, I'm sending him so much stuff. I don't even know which issue it was, but they need to hear from us, because when they do, they know that we are alive and well. If they don't hear from us, it's like, okay, we can get away with more. So we have to begin to really build a united front against these fools, the united front against fascism, because that's what's happening in the White House, and it's trickling on down. And if we don't do it today, they definitely going to take more and more of our liberties, more and more of our civil rights, more and more of our human rights. And it's not easy to see when you look at what Trump is doing with the detention centers, that those detention centers that they are expanding and reopening are not just going to be for, quote, immigrants. As we see now, he allegedly was only going after so-called undocumented immigrants, dangerous immigrants. But any daily news would tell you that's a lie. Anybody that gets swept up in the dragnet is being taken into detention centers. And it's going to be hard as hell to get out of there. So the criminality with this, with even the ICE stuff, is that there's no due process for folks. If you don't have due process, then you really do have, you know, some kind of pre-fascist state. Because if something happens to me, something happens to you, and people can't, first of all, find out where we are, and second of all, petition some court to get us out, then what do we have? And this won't be the first time that there's been mass incarceration of U.S. citizens. So we need to remember that. This is not the first time. And so we ought to make it the last, but we have to be conscious and we have to be active. So I know it's coming at us in so many different forms. And now the big deal is about Epstein. I could give a rat's tail about Epstein. What I do care about is the call for all of the pages in that file to be released. That's going to be dangerous for a number of reasons. One is there are victims' names that are in there who need to be protected. They were under many of them were underage at the time that Epstein violated them. But there's also people in there who provided information about Epstein's goings on and probably some other folks' goings on. And so those people have to be protected. And their testimony's protected. Maybe Trump is listed in there somewhere. I don't know. But remember, whatever is in there about Trump, and he seems to know that, because what did he do? He had hundreds of New York agents go through the files and flag anything that had his name. They spent 24-hour days going through those thousands and thousands of pages to flag his name. So he may or may not be in there in any kind of criminal way. But here's what I'm saying. We already know what the character and caliber of this man is. As I said before at the top of the show, he's a 34-count convicted felon. And most of that was on sexual assault charges. So if his name appears in any of the Epstein files, he's a sitting president. He can't be prosecuted or convicted. So do y'all see where I'm going with this? We're living in a country where people voted to make this man president, regardless of his past, his criminal past, I might add that. And now it's a big deal about Epstein, when this man just passed a bill that was going to eliminate healthcare for people, that eliminate education. I mean, and we settled on Epstein? Really? Yeah, we got to get our priorities together. Really, 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 we got to get them together. I do also want to talk about some other issues that are plaguing us. People have been asking me about what I think of the whole Essence thing. So Essence has this yearly festival, and it was almost empty. And it was empty for a number of reasons. But I canceled my subscription to Essence magazine decades ago. It's probably in the late 1990s. And I did it for two reasons. One is it just seems like there was hardly any substantive articles. There's lots and lots of advertising. And then we started to having all of these articles about and for men. Now, Essence is a women's magazine that's supposed to deal with health, fashion, politics, you know, development. And, you know, you start seeing all these brothers on the front cover. Okay, I love my brothers. I love them to death. But they got magazines for men and black men. So I took issue with that, and I sent them a letter and told them why I was canceling my subscription. And that's something that I always encourage other people to do. If you're getting ready to sever ties with a business, a agency, a organization, you need to let them know why. Don't go quietly into the night. One is that they need to hear constructive criticism so they can do some course correction. And two, it's just a responsible grown thing to do. So I told them that, and I haven't really looked back on that. But over the years, Essence started to be not just a thing, a place for men, but white men and white people. So at some point, the editor was white. And so they did a picture of the staff, the current staff at Essence, and it was predominantly white. I think that's a sad, sad state of affairs. But anyway, one of the things that happened is that they have all these corporate sponsors. Let me just say this. One of the other reasons that with the festival itself, I always felt like they should have been more outreach to working class women who needed to be there. In addition to, you know, folks who could pay the big, you know, price to be there to get to New Orleans or, you know, wherever. But this year, the place was pretty empty, and that's because one of the major sponsors was Target. Now it's a national boycott going on Target. So folks was like, "No, what are y'all doing?" So people have to understand. Okay, there's consequences when you go against the people. And so they got a good whiff of that. But I've not had any respect for Essence or the Essence festivals for a long time. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But I just think that's the wave of what's going on now, that, you know, the whole monetary thing instead of principles, instead of like uplifting people, uplifting democratic principles. It's really about power, greed, and money and corruption. And I just think we need to be totally resistant to those things on a personal level, but also when we see it in our communities and in our leaders and our elected officials. So coming up, Next week, we are going to have what I'm calling the new slavery shackles. Taylor Harris, who is a phenomenal investigative reporter, has done a thing on ankle bracelets. And at the time, she was a New York Times investigative reporter fellow, and she wrote this. So it's got some good insights in there. So Taylor will be on the show next week to talk about that. And following that, we're going to have a panel on the tornado recovery for St. Louis. One of those people on there will be Burvis Jones, who's been very observant, as I have, with what's going on in St. Louis with recovery. So that ought to be interesting. Also, and my anniversary show is coming up, so that's pretty exciting. Just talking about some of the past issues that I've dealt with, and some of my phenomenal guests, and then what's coming up. And of course, you know, I got to do something around Hurricane Katrina. This will be the 20th anniversary. And we need to take a look at Katrina, because we got our own little Katrina going on right now, to see how those neighborhoods fared, see if they ever returned to their original greatness, to see what happened to the culture of New Orleans when Black people weren't allowed to come back. So I think, you know, there's some lessons to be learned, and we need to hear from people who are living it so that we don't make the same mistakes again. So that's coming up in August, and hopefully you'll stay tuned to that. Some of the other things that are coming up, not related to the show, the breath work and meditation that have been going on all summer. The Organization for Black Struggle is doing that as a service to the community. They're free and open to the community. And I know I've gotten a lot. I usually do. And one of the things, the meditations that we were taking through on Sunday, was to create this sanctuary inside of you. Because as you know, you can't always like take a trip somewhere. You can't always go to the beach. You can't always do any of those things for one, time and money. But the peace and calmness that came over when we landed in that sanctuary, where we were told to seek calm and clarity, that really was helpful for me. And I know that just learning how to breathe differently is a powerful thing as well for the body and for the mind. And so there will be two more sessions in August. So please go to JamalaRogers.com and see what's coming up in terms of events. That's one of them. One of the other events is coming up is Black Pride. There'll be something on the website about that. I had hoped to get somebody to talk about that, but I didn't get a response from my inquiry. So that's all good. Maybe we can talk to folks anytime. But Black Pride is coming up, and we need to support our brothers and sisters and our trans folks as they lift up their own humanity and voices. Yeah, there's a lot going on in St. Louis, but I do want us to take the time to get on a battlefield to fight for the money, to fight for the rights of people, for representation, for our kids who are going to public schools. They have a right to a learning environment. And I don't know what's going to happen, but based on the Department of Education being dismantled, what effect that's going to have on our local school system. But I'm a big public school advocate, and I will be checking out that and bringing some folks on who can help us understand what's going on down there at the Board of Education, because it seems like every time we get new leadership, we think something is going to change. But if it's not the right leaders, y'all, we just going to have more of the same. And so we got to pay attention to the who and the what and the why. we can't, we got to stay woke. That's all to it. So I just, you know, there's, like I said, there's a lot going on. There's a lot to do. But we can do it, and we shall do it, and we are called on to do it. And I know the outcome for the tornado victims. I have some images in my head about how it could look, and I've been talking to other people about that. But to me, that is one of the key priorities for this city right now. What does tornado recovery look like long term? And we're going to talk about that soon. So I appreciate you listening. I appreciate your support. We got some special things coming up in the future, particularly a more permanent live streaming. You know, it seems like we have technical troubles every time I try to do it, but I'm gonna get somebody in there that knows how to set that up so we can have get to a larger audience, and that you all can actually interact with me in some level, because that's the thing I really vibe off of, you know, people asking questions or making comments based on what's being said on the show by our guests or by me. Yeah, so that's the interactive part that I miss on a radio show. And I value your opinions as well. This is Jamala Rogers, your host. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the battlefield.
Right now, we've got to do the right thing.